Okay. Usually I have a screen in the back. I'll leave you free. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat, the one ahead of him, the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, by the way, I hope I don't speak too fast, okay? Let me indicate that you don't, if I'm speaking too fast, that's just my normal speed. Let me know. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly after dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, it's you," Peter replied. "Tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I was given free rein. I was very gracious. Those that have asked me to preach this morning said, "Preach anything you want." I don't even know what theme you guys are going through this year. But I thought, I picture you guys as teenagers or younger people. And I remember my teen years was very stressful. And I think it's even more stressful these days. When I know, I do a lot of counseling, and I know a lot of people under a lot of stress. And so I just thought, this sermon I preached at my congregation a few months back, and about dealing with stress, dealing with tough times, dealing with, as was prayed earlier, the storms in your life. So I thought, okay, how do you be a water walker? And that's my simple message for this morning. Actually, let me check. I'm going to use my cell phone to make sure I'm on time, okay? I don't want to go too far behind here. So I want to invite you to a walk this morning. It's an unforgettable walk, not because of who, of where they're walking in the land of Israel, but because of what they were walking on, water, and who they were walking, who he was walking with, Jesus. Treading on the waves, walking at its finest. Today's invitation is to help you to experience the power and presence of God in the middle of your tough stuff. I don't know if you got the notes on your book. So it's all there. All the alliteration took me forever to figure out. It's all there for you. Water walking. You know, if you're like me, most of you are like me, are non-Asian. I think, one day you'll have non-Asian. Say, any non-Asian of us? If you're like me, you know the old term. Let me use a racist term. Get away with it because not being taped, right? You know what did they call people in the old days when people were scared? They call them what color? Yellow. They call them yellow. Why do they call them yellow? Because us Asians are known of the image of being fearful, right? That's our image. Okay. I'm not a brave person. I'm quite. I've got some phobias that are kind of weird. I got stuck in an elevator in Taiwan at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm a little afraid when I'm walking elevators. I don't know, they're shaky or not, right? I just started playing CCSA softball last summer, first time in over 25 years. This is my new church. And I'm scared of fly balls. My eyes ain't that good anymore. So I'm scared. First game I went to, some girl got bonked in the nose a fly ball, and all blood and all over. Oh no. I'm a little afraid of flying. How is it this big airplane stays in the air for like 7-8 hours over the ocean? it kind of freaks me out, right? How do you deal with your fears? Hope I don't sound proud, but over the years, even though I'm like a pretty typical person, the Lord has helped me to do a lot of things because I'm a pastor. Going to inner city Toronto, playing softball. I never would have done this age, 52, right? No. Rock climbing. I'm doing that this Friday. I did it earlier. Trail biking. Going to camping at some certain parks. Going to Native Reserves in Northern Ontario. Going to East Coast Native Reserves. Going to Glasgow, Scotland for a short-term mission. Going to rural primitive China for a short-term mission. Going to Bali, Indonesia. Last summer I went to Beirut, Lebanon, where everyone owns a gun. Every house there have a gun. Pray for them, by the way. They're going through a lot of tough times now. I've done over 200 weddings. Spoken to hundreds, thousands. Funerals, birthday parties, baby showers,
hospitals, spoken at ordinations, done ordinations, Chinese churches, white churches, black churches, Filipino churches, celebrating, counseling, crying, caring, comforting, confronting, consoling, correcting, corralling. The Lord has allowed me to do that because He's helped me to walk in water in many ways. How do you do it? Very quickly. Water walkers. By the way, I have to rush out right after at 10:30. By 11, I gotta teach at my church. Okay. They're divinely inspired. Let me get back here. They're divinely inspired. Water walkers are divinely directed. Why were the disciples in the boat in the first place? Because Jesus told them to go there. Even though Jesus knew they would be in a storm for the fight, in a fight for their lives in a few minutes, in a few hours. Think about that. They were divinely directed. They were simply following His instructions. Why would Jesus do that? This is a bit of a stretch, but I hope you kind of get one. According to the commentators and the scholars that read and talk about this, what was Jesus doing? Many people call this, and this is what happened in the Book of Mark, in the parallel passage. They call it a theophany. I'll talk, say that in a second. Mark chapter 6, verses 48 says, He was about to pass them by. Why is He doing? Racing past them? Is He trying to impress them with a neat trick? Oh, watch this, guys. No. He's purposely passing them by. Okay? In the Greek, there's a term. That's not the Greek, but in the Greek, it's paraklomai, okay, which means pass by. It's referred to in theology as a theophany, an appearance of God, where God makes, it's a defining moment where God makes striking temporary appearances in the earthly realm, okay, to a select individual or group. Why? For the purpose of communicating a message. God is saying, I want your attention. And so Jesus makes sure He passes them by on the water. Nothing like getting your attention when someone passes by in the water, right? God passed by Moses many years ago in the cleft of the rock to show him His glory. God told Elijah to stand outside the cave, and he was going to pass by. There's a pattern here. God wants to call someone to do something amazing, and so He passes by. So Jesus is passing by to reveal His divine identity and power. Is why only God can walk on water. God alone treads on the waves of the sea. Job chapter 9, verse 8. Okay. What's Jesus saying? Look, guys, look, buddies. It's me. You can trust me in the middle of the storms of your life. I am your anchor. I am safety. Your life is in my hands, and I can take care of you. So He shows him that. But He allows him first to go through the storm. Because He allows him to pay attention. He wants him to pay attention. Because man's extremity is God's opportunity. That's when you're listening most. As C.S. Lewis used to say, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience. He shouts to us in our pain. If you're in pain right now this morning, it's because God's saying something to you. I don't know what, but He's saying something to you. That's why you're in pain. And one reason. You know, Jesus may allow us to get hurt, but He will never harm us. Like a doctor cuts in order to heal. Jesus allows you to get hurt, but He won't harm you. I heard the story recently. Someone said that shepherds in the Middle East, if you get a wandering sheep, if the sheep wanders, you can get eaten by the wolves, right? So sometimes shepherds will break the sheep's legs so it doesn't keep on wandering. Now that's painful. I've never broken a bone in my body, but I imagine that's painful, but that's what the shepherd does in order to keep you from wandering, right? So, question simply, are you divinely directed? Do you listen to His leading? It's very crucial, by the way, because you don't try to walk in water if Jesus doesn't call you, okay? Are you listening to Jesus in the middle of your pain? Are you listening to Jesus? Water walkers are divinely directed. Water walkers face fear with faith. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, that's between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus went to them on the water, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, it is you, Peter replied. tell me to come to you on the water. You know, I'm used to seeing the text, so I'm always half a page behind here, but here we go. Okay. Jesus allows us to face fears often. That's his modus operandi. That's how he works. The disciples, being divinely directed doesn't mean you will not face fear. He told Moses to speak truth into power to the most powerful man at the time, who could have killed him with a word or a glance, a wrong glance. God told the 12 leaders, the spies, to go into the promised land to check it out, even though they felt like grasshoppers, because those guys are so tall, like a land of NBA players, right? That basically, he told them to go in, okay? He tells you to do certain things that scares the living daylights out of you. I have this poster on my wall, right in front of my, when I wake up in the morning, I see it every morning. I got this on the CNE somewhere. John Wayne, famous movie star, cop, cowboy, he simply said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. And I need to know this every time I wake up in the morning. Because you never, as a pastor, there's a lot of things to be afraid of. I know not physically, but a lot of things about the church. Water walkers accept fear as a price of growth. That's what happens when you choose to follow Jesus. That's part of growing. You have to have fear. You know, each time you face fear, you know God's working in your life. If you're not facing any fear, probably you're not growing. And in one sense, this is good news. You recognize that fear is just part of the equation. It's like macaroni and cheese. They always go together. Okay? You have to. You have growth. You have fear. You know, I know we like to have comfort. The best-selling couch in North America is Lazy Boy. You know, not the worky boy or the risky boy. It's a lazy boy. We like to be lazy. We don't want to do things, right? But we want comfort. But there's a part of life that has to have a sense of fear and for growth. It's God's gift to you. And when you get a situation where you're scared and you don't want to go forward, you're paralyzed, recognize you have a choice. You need to press the yes button or the no button. You press the yes button, God, then what happens is things and circumstances and God's power and sovereignty move around, and he works things out to give you courage to work on that thing he's called you to do. And then you grow a little stronger. Kind of like, physical fitness, pumping iron or whatever, right? If you pump a little bit of iron, it gets easier to pump that iron later, right? And you get a little stronger. But if you press no, then you're also changed. Every time you resist God's voice, every time you choose to stay in the boat rather than in the water, it becomes a little harder the next time. The voice gets a little quieter within you. Then at last, you don't even hear the voice. You gotta say yes to God when he gives you those circumstances. When I preached a sermon the first time in my church, I just got back from Lebanon, and I heard a story from a brother there, a missionary brother who was from Rwanda. I don't know if you heard about, Roosevelt said this, everything that fear is fear itself. Okay. I don't know if you heard about this massacre in Rwanda in 1994. Mass slaughter of Tutsi and moderate Hutus in the Rwandan civil war. And the Tutsi were led by the Hutu Rwandan government. And between a half million, that's 500,000 people, to a million people were butchered by the Hutu government within the span of 100 days. Okay? Today till maybe the end of the year, right? Something a little bit beyond. Massacre. And they weren't just lined up and shot. They were like hacked to death with machetes, right? It was scary. It was really scary. And that during my missionary friend was telling me during that time, one of his colleagues, in that time many of the pastors gave in to fear. One pastor of a church, when the people, the Tutsis, ran into the church, he was a Hutu, But in those days, the church was something like a mix, and a bunch of Tutsis ran into the church for sanctuary, for safety. So the church is filled up with all these Tutsis, and then the Hutu Rwandan government-led army came in the next day. The pastor, when he heard they were coming, he says to his Tutsi congregation, he said to them, there were armies coming, you're going to die. He said, you're going to die. He said, I know, God has given up on you. You might as well give up on him and see you later. And he basically ran off. He gave him the fear. And that's what happened. Next day, government came in, army came in, wiped out the whole church. Another church, the pastor, when the army, same situation, when the army came in that day, he decided to say yes to God. And he said, he stood between the army and the cowering people of the church. He said, there are no Hutus or Tutsis here. We're all Rwandans, and we're all Christians first. If you're going to slaughter these innocent people inside, you'll have to go through me first. Imagine that. These are people that are hacking people to death, left, right, and center. And for some reason, they stopped. The army stopped. Turned around and went back. Next morning, they came back. Next morning, the pastor said the exact same thing. And this happened for several days until finally the army stopped coming. Saved all these people. Because he didn't give in to the fear. He listened to God. He listened to God. He had a choice. How can you do that? I don't know if I could do that. How can we not give in to fear? The hints are written in our text this morning. Perceive Jesus' presence. When the disciples saw him walking in the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Let this sink in for a moment for you, okay? Remember, they were with him. They lived with him for 3 years. They recognized him normally. But this is the middle of night, middle of the storm, 3 a.m. in the morning, right? And sometimes in the middle of our storms, you don't perceive Jesus there. Sometimes in all your pain, you don't recognize he's right there next to you. We have to recognize that, Lord, it's you. We have to recognize God is right here among us. Sometimes you have to perceive Jesus' presence. I don't know what happened to those 11 guys that stayed in the boat, but all they thought about was the waves, and they thought it was a ghost. But for some reason, Peter figured out that that was really Christ. And he's really there. Perceive God in the middle of your storm is right there next to you. God's right there. Just like you might not see him, like, you know, but he's there and you'll see his movements. As the old poem goes, who has seen the wind, neither you nor I, but when the trees are swaying and no one's passing by, God's there. Perceive his presence. Embrace Jesus' encouragement. What did he say? He said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. I don't have time to talk about this morning, but basically the Bible tells us to not be afraid 366 times. One day, one for every day of the year, one for leap years. Some version of do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, do not fear. God tells us, do not fear. That's one of the most, I think it is the most common command in the Bible. Do not fear. Embrace his encouragement. That's what Jesus is saying to you over and over again every morning. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't chicken out. Don't be paralyzed. Don't be afraid. Embrace his encouragement. Recognize his fear. Embrace encouragement. Thirdly, get out. Not get lost. Now, I don't mean to insult you that way, but what I mean is get out of the boat. Okay? Come, he said. Jesus said that Peter got down out of the boat and walked toward Jesus. Famous book about this passage by a guy named John Ortberg from Willow Creek Church. I don't know if you guys know that book. You know the title? He says, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. When the going gets tough, the tough don't leave. They get working. Get going. Your actions speak louder than words. Faith is an action. Belief is just intellectual. Faith is an action. Put yourself a story, and I know we read it so many times, but can you imagine? Anytime you've ever been in a storm, I don't know, you've ever been in a bad storm? Yeah, you have. How did you feel?
Scared.
Scared. You felt, oh, were you on a cruise or something? Oh, you're in your home. Okay, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about on the storm, on the water. Okay, but yeah, you're scared, right? And I've been in a few storms, and actually one mission trip, I was in a storm on a boat, and it's hard to put into words. I don't surf, but I imagine you surf on a calm sea. It must be a little difficult to get on that surfboard for a surfer, but you've never seen anyone walk on water. You probably never will. And this stuff is so light. How in the world? You must think, you know, they must thought they were delusional. And that must have been the most craziest thing that Peter ever did. Getting out of that boat. That's what he did. He had a sudden insight that God was talking to him. But you don't have certainty. You don't have all your ducks lined up. Not everything's covered. You just know that Jesus is out there. And you get out of the security of your boat. What's your security? What's your boat? Where do you feel really safe? Your house, as someone just said? Your bank account? Your relationships? Your intelligence? Your muscles? What is your boat? When I became a pastor many years ago, 30 years ago, probably about now, I was a secure engineer. Making twice, even at that young age, probably making twice what I'm making now as a pastor. And I, no one in my family ever became a pastor, and I was an engineer, and my parents had taken our whole family from India, we were from India, and came over to Canada, and the whole reason that my dad worked so hard and all that stuff was to make sure his kids had a good education, graduate from U of T, and make lots of money. And when I told my dad and mom I was going to be a pastor, leave the engineering field, they said that I would never get married, I'd never own a house, I'd never have a car, they said, why can't you just be a good person and serve part-time when you retire, right? And then my dad says, why do you just want to beg for money the rest of your life? That was his image of being a pastor, begging for money, right? And that was scary. That was my boat, I realized my boat was money. It bothered me that when I figured out how much pastors really made, the guy collecting my garbage would probably make more money than me. Right? It kind of bothered me that, especially when I was making so much more money as an engineer. But that was my boat. What's your boat? Some of you, it's your career. Oh, by the way, I've got all those things that my parents said I wouldn't have. A wife, family, etc., a house, right? Some of you, it's your career. You've been in the same industry for many years. God's calling you into the ministry. But you're scared. Some of you, it's a relationship. Okay? Girls involved with some guy for many years in high school, and yeah, you can't leave him now, the guy's not a Christian. He's your boat. Some of you, it's secrecy. You're not addicted to it, the pornography, but you think you really need it. Once in a little while, no one notices. That's your boat. Some of you, it's family, your parents. Just can't disobey your parents. Even your Christian parents, they say, oh, I don't want you to serve so much in the church. Don't be a fanatic. Just get along. Don't be serious about it. You know, it's good that you can become if you go to church, get your baptism certificate. You know, this helps out in certain places, especially some people I heard immigrating from different places. Oh, get your baptism certificate, help you with citizenship of Canada. I don't know. But, just be a nice, good, quiet Christian at the church. And don't go overboard. Don't become a fanatic. Some of you, your boat is success. You're like the rich young ruler who had everything going for him, and yet Jesus said his one idol was, his boat was money. So Christ said to the rich young ruler, sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me. And the guy didn't do it. I imagine many years later, can you imagine this old man sitting on the beach, drinking his iced tea, and sitting there thinking, there's got to be more to life. Maybe if I made that wild decision many years ago when Jesus called me, maybe life would have been different. When you follow Christ in the water, life, you recognize life is like a roller coaster. You know, everyone's life is like a roller coaster. You all end up on the same spot. You come from nowhere, you end up in the grave. Right? And the question is whether your roller coaster is going to be a kiddie roller coaster that stays on one level and does nothing, basically comes back, or you're going to be a Wonderland roller coaster. And you'd be willing to go for the ups and downs, and at the end of the ride, you go, what a ride. What a ride. That's your choice. Especially those who are young, if you're a teenager this morning. Some of us, we're almost at the end of our ride. But some of you, you've got a choice this morning. What is your boat? Water walkers, divinely directed. Face fear with faith. Perceive Jesus' presence. Embrace Jesus' encouragement. They get out. They don't get lost. They see the Savior, not the storm. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Peter gets in the side of the boat. His knuckles are white. He does something religious. He lets go. And then he abandons himself utterly to the power of Jesus. And suddenly, for the first time in history, basically, an ordinary man walks on water. And Peter experiences something that no one else ever does. He's beaming with delight. Jesus is thrilled. I imagine Jesus smiling or laughing in the water. Think, oh, our guy finally got it. Someone finally got it. And Jesus is so excited. Come on. You know, like a parent saying to their baby, come on, sonny. You know, get up, start walking, right? And he's so happy. But then, Peter starts looking at the waves, the Bible says. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. By the way, you don't see wind, you see the waves, right? In fact, he sees the, and he starts to sink. Because he's got his eyes off of the Savior. He didn't see the Savior, he saw the storm. Formula for defeat. When I was, I'm also half a thing behind. When I was, this isn't my kid, but my oldest son, Joshua, he's now 24 years old now, working in the States. But when he was a baby, I remember, they're so teeny, you can wash them in the sink. You can wash them in the sink. It's so convenient. And I thought my kid was crazy. I thought he had colic or something. I thought he was a crybaby because every time I wash him, he's always crying. You know, I go, what's wrong with a little bit of water? Is he got something wrong with him, right? Then my wife said, oh, Ted, you gotta flip him around. Don't like make him see the water. Face him up. Face him up. Because I've been I'm washing, holding him, and he's facing the water in the sink. Face him up. young dad, not too intelligent. And when you only look at the water, you get scared. It's that you focus. Where are you focused in the middle of your storms? Where are you focused in the middle of your storms? Don't see the wind. Maybe the wind for you, you started off walking in your Christian walk, and then the wind all of a sudden, and the waves is your job problems, or your new, you want to start a new fellowship in the church, you want to start a new ministry in the church, and you're scared, and people are speaking against you, and you're not getting people coming, and you got times when the situation doesn't turn out well, and you're scared. Keep on going. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the Savior. See the Savior, not the storm. Recognize you will have problems. What did Jesus do? He immediately, what's my next slide? No, okay, that's not it. He immediately reaches out his hand and saves him. How do you keep your eyes on Jesus? Make him your focus. Make him, if you put something that's close enough in front of you, you won't see other things. I love this song. So I don't know if you ever sang this in this church. Yeah, it's an older song, Be Thou My Vision, Be Thou My Vision, right? Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, my day or my night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my life. That is right. That. Anyways, no, you get the picture. Be thou my vision. So you want to block out, or you want to not see the storm. Bring Jesus as close as possible to you. First thing in the morning, BBB, Bible before breakfast. I tell my people in my congregation. During the day, keep them in your thoughts. Before you do your test, think about him. Before you face that client, think about him. Before you face those problems, think about him. Keep them as close to you as you can. And your problems will fade into the background. It'll still be there. But Christ will be your vision. Keep him front and center. Water walkers are divinely directed. Before I go on to that, the next point, I want to read you a quote that's on my daily calendar, my Google daily calendar. I read this every morning. Nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love in an absolute final way. When you're in love, meaning in love with God, what you're in love with, what seizes your imagination will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, if you can't get out of bed. And I know some of you may be doing that. I just know that because I do a lot of counseling. What you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love with God. Stay in love. And it will decide everything in your life. Life becomes simple. Water walkers. Divinely directed. Face fear with faith. Perceive Jesus' presence. Embrace Jesus' encouragement. Get out, not get lost. See the Savior, not storm. And you end up winding up in worship. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That's the main point of this passage. Jesus wants to get the disciples to a point of worshiping him, to recognize he's truly the Son of God. All of life is to lead to worship. Everything that happens to you is supposed to lead to worship. If after this morning you go, "Oh, what a great speaker that Reverend Ted is," I failed. But if you end of the sermon and the end of the service today and Sunday, you go back home and say, "What a great God I have," then this church has succeeded. Everything that happens to you Monday morning, when you go to sleep at nighttime, after the whole day on Monday, if you had gone through your life experiences in the right way, with the right attitude and perspective, you should be saying at the end of the day, "Lord, thank you. I love you more today, tonight, than I did last night." Worship is the goal. That's why it's so crucial. Thank you for those that led the music this morning. It would have been nice to be a bit faster, by the way. But anyway, that's just my own opinion. I don't mean it was bad. I just say it would have been nice to be a bit faster. And I don't know if you guys don't clap. Like, I wanted to clap. Okay. But I like peppy songs in the morning. But worship is so crucial. That's why we're here. You know, that's what you're going to do for the rest of eternity, is worship. And that's what we're made for. That's what we're built for. They wound up in worship. That's the point. The 11 disciples, can you imagine what happened to the 11 disciples? You probably never forget it. They didn't get in the water, but they saw a guy, their buddy, Peter, that they can slap in the back and have jokes with. That guy walked in water. If he can do it, maybe I can do it. Okay? Who controls the weather? I'm going through the middle of a snowstorm or something, or, you know, ice storm, or, oh, that's okay. I know the guy who controls the weather. Okay? Yeah, and yet they ate with him. They probably, you know, gave him a hug. He's in control. But, you know, though that's the 11 guys, but Peter, wow, what an experience. Peter got to know the glory of walking on water. If someone asked what it felt like, they had to go to him. Out of all the world, they had to go to him. He knew what it's like to attempt the impossible and feel empowered by God. Okay? And just remember, this impossible thing wasn't to increase the GDP of Israel. Okay, well, he wasn't there trying to get some bigger theological information. I don't, you know, okay, I want to know the text of the exegesis of this Hebrew passage. No. Jesus didn't even ask him to walk on water in the beginning. Peter, out of the blue, decides he wants to do it. Of course, he was wise enough to ask Jesus to ask him, but Peter was the one that initiated it, right? He gets to do it. And he knows what's like in the future. God, I don't know if you really want to do this revival in the city, but man, if you can let me walk in water when Jesus, maybe you'll do this too. This wasn't a practical a miracle. This was just pure desire, but according to God's will. And he made sure Christ said yes, right? He got a chance to see it. And finally, he knows Jesus is adequate to save us. He knows Jesus is adequate. No matter what Peter, one day, tradition tells us and hinted on in the Bible, when Peter dies, he gets crucified. And he doesn't want to be crucified the same way as Jesus was crucified. He said, I'm not worthy to get crucified like my Lord. So he asked him to crucify him upside down. And imagine he's upside down, nails in his hands and side or his feet, in excruciating pain, head rushing, and the blood rushing to his head. But he's probably thinking, if Jesus can let me walk in water, he can help me make it through this. And next thing I know, I'm going to see him. Just like I saw him on water. It was in his heart for the rest of his life, I believe. That's what leaders do. They are the water walkers. The ones who are leading here, if you're older, you ought to be the water walker experts. You ought to be the ones who say to the kids, the young teens, you know, I know you're scared to start this fellowship. I know you're scared to witness at school. I know you're scared to bring all these people to Alpha. I know whatever. But you know, let me tell you what I've been through. Christ can do it. Christ can do it. Why risking getting out of the boat? Discover and obey your calling. That's what you're meant to do. Only way to real growth. That's where true faith develops. The alternative is boredom and stagnation. But mainly, you get out into the water because that's where Jesus is. If you want to be where Jesus is, you get out of the water. I'm not going to repeat this again, because I've said so many often. And you got it in your bulletin, okay? These are our points this morning. So, the simple question is, what's your boat? What's your boat? All you need to do is take the first step. I don't know if you guys recognize this scene. It's from Indiana Jones. The Last Crusade. One of the first movies. Indiana Jones, this guy is on Han Solo. I don't know if you, some of you think you see him as Han Solo, right? Many years ago, there was this film, he was Indiana Jones, right? And in that movie, near the end, he has to save his father, okay? And he's looking for this thing called the Holy Grail. And he's told that it's on the other side of this chasm, 100 feet, maybe like 100 feet across, 1,000 feet down. And the instructions on the book that was his guide, his legend, it said, if you want to get the Holy Grail in the cave on the other side, you have to take only the leap of faith, the leap from the lion's head, will he prove his worth. And this is what happens. Okay, it's a little dark, so I don't know if you saw that, but there's a bridge that shows up. A bridge that shows up. And the only reason I showed you that video was just to point out that all it takes is a first step. Whatever your boat is, get out and take the first step. Because without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word, and this story is not a parable. It's not legend. It's not myth. Someone actually did walk on the water. Lord, help us to really comprehend what that meant and what it means to us this morning. Lord, you know that the boat is secure that we're in. It's really scary, but Lord, we ask that you would give us the faith to get out of the boat and take that first step towards you. stay front and center in our hearts and minds. Be thou our vision. And Lord, we want to see miracles happening in this church through these people for your glory. We want to worship you as the wonder-working God because you are a specialist. That's your forte mission. It's a mission impossible. Miracles. Help us to trust you for them, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is right for me. So, speaking of Tad, they used the room. So, the stereotype is quite interesting about the yellow, right? So, what's worse, I guess, is I'm a captain too. So, I guess I get the double whammy that I'm on the conservative side when it comes to taking risks. So, it's just something that we all need to learn. And all joking aside, just something that we need to embrace and see Jesus. And what I learned also over time is that actually the book that he was referring to from John Albert, I should have a copy. I forgot to bring it. I wanted to bring it to share with you. And actually that book had quite a bit of influence on me. I read it a few times and encouraging us to. It's actually quite amazing. You know, my amazing writer, he has he wrote this short passage. He wrote a whole book about it. So it's pretty amazing. And if you wanted to borrow it, just ask me after the service. So, in terms of announcement, there are a few for today. So, just fresh off the press, in terms of our church financial situation, please continue to pray for the church. And also, if you are earning an income and God bless you, remember that pray and that you have the hearts to be faithful in the financial realm as well. Deficit we have for the first 9 months is about $106,000. So other than finance, I wanted to encourage you about, Ted was talking about looking at Jesus and focusing on him. So one thing that we need to do as a church, do better is that we need to read his word and be really connected with God. So we do have a 260, devotion. The details actually in your bulletin. You can look at it and just to follow it. If you don't have a Bible reading plan and you're not reading God's Word regularly, we'll welcome you to do that. And if you have been doing that apparently for the last year for 80% of the time, I don't know how you can track that, but if you believe that you do that, there's some encouragement for you to just go see Pastor Ken after. And a couple of celebration coming up. Pastor Hughes walking in, so no. A couple of celebrations. Yesterday was a very successful and very big, good teamwork together as we help out on the sandwich run, and we'll give a round of applause for everybody who have participated. I saw the pictures, they look very engaging, so I'm very encouraged by that. And speaking of Pastor Ian earlier, his upcoming wedding on November the 9th, please pray for him and his fiance, and that God will give his blessing and that they have this new married life after November 9th. So adult cell group is next Sunday at William's house. Please be ready to come. And for those of you who haven't shown up for the last little while, really strongly encourage you to come, and not just encourage you to come because you're going to get something out of it, is that the reason why you need to come is that we need you. Okay? So please allow time and make sure that you can make it. And youth worship this coming Friday is cell group, so please come as well. We have, I think Jenny is coordinating this. Where's Jenny? Yep, Jenny's there. So Jenny's going to help coordinating this week. So a whole bunch of items to pray about as we depart, and also throughout the week, continue to pray for Hong Kong, pray for peace, God's shalom with the city, his presence. This is the month where we encourage our leader, a cell leader. Please pray for them. God bless them as well, and you know, do something as well if you can to encourage your leaders that they might get encouraged by. You know, it's been a lot of sweat and work during the year. Just acknowledge them. The third item is actually quite interesting. So we're talking about being on a boat, right? And you know, the church has been on this boss boat for a while, and we got rocked a little bit over the last month or so with the strike, and where we had to find some spots and you know, in an emergency basis where we met with in Springfield for a couple of weeks. So continue to pray for this, and as we are, as a church, we're not afraid to make decisions, not afraid to venture out and, you know, look for other opportunities. And we are in Boss right now. We're quite comfortable with where we are, but, you know, we just have to be mindful of where God is leading us. So pray for the building committee, pray for the board where we have a vision and have the courage to make a decision, bold decision on where we're going to go next, so we're going to stay, where we're going to go. Pray for that. We're going to looking for an English prayer meeting at some point. We'll have some details. Pray for those who are planning. And last but not least, pray for those who got baptized last year in the summer. Just looking around to see who is here. The baptism. So pray for all those folks and all these items when you get back. So last thing I would like to do is ask you to all rise. We'll have a short prayer, and then I will read this and to send you on your way. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and we are praising you for you are the I Am. You are the one who we need to fixate on, whether it is during school time, but also especially during trouble time and the trouble season, so that we can look at you and see you. When we see you, then everything, all the storm around us seems to be smaller. And we pray for all the different turmoil and in Hong Kong. We pray for that your will be done in this, and that you will be glorified at the end. We pray for the brother and sister. We thank you for giving them the opportunity to serve others. Pray that we continue to grow in serving, but also grow in your word as well, whether it's through devotion or through encouragement to each other. Pray for our church, that we have a land, financial, a lot of needs, but we know that we can rely on you. And pray for ourselves. We may be in this boat where we feel comfortable, and encourage us to go get out of the boat and be really focusing on Jesus, you, yourself, and not the storm around us. It's difficult to do, but we pray that you would help us, and we will, your love will compel us to do that. And finally, looking at your word, and to change it into a prayer, that we will all go out after this service and be wise in the way we act towards the outsiders, the ones who don't know you. That we all will make the most out of the opportunity that we have as we walk out. Make our conversation with others be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, and that you may know how to answer in a way that glorifies the Lord. We pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.